to take some time this morning to consider some things that might be described as reasons for our worship or purpose for our worship. I want to consider some motives and the mission of our worship. We talked just a few weeks ago about singing with understanding, and we've talked in the past about praying and remembering the sacrifice of our Savior, our studies, and other things that we see as a part of the worship that we engage in when we come together in assemblies such as this. And while there is a sense in which all the things that we do are an offering to God, some would even refer to them as worship, I think there's some distinctions that are made in regards to the things that we do when we assemble together and the everyday offerings and sacrifices that we give to the Lord. I think there are some things that we need to keep in mind in regards to our worship, our corporate worship, as I've heard it referred to by folks that use big words. When we come together to honor and praise God, that's why we're here. We want to consider those things this morning, because understanding the reason behind any particular activity can help us to better exercise ourselves in that. One of the difficulties I had growing up when Dad would give me an instruction and say, you go do this, is I want to know why he wanted me to do that. I got in a lot of trouble sometimes because I was supposed to just go do it. I did learn the why eventually over time. Sometimes he would explain why. And I think sometimes we look at worship and we kind of look at it that way. God said worship. He said do these things. Why do we do these things? And we think, well, God told us to. And while that may have been sufficient reason behind my dad telling me some of the things he told me to do, it helps our worship when we better understand. And it's not like God has said, you do this and worship me and not tell us why. We have the background information. We know the things that are behind what we do. And if we consider those things and think about them and prepare ourselves with those thoughts in mind as we go to come together in these various assemblies for worship, our worship will be better, both for ourselves and for God. Of course, we know that worship is all about God. And one of the first things that we must consider and keep in mind when we're talking about worship is everything is about God. God is the one that motivates our worship. When we think about that motivation, one of the things that's behind our worship to God, one of the things that I think should impress upon us the need to worship, maybe even more so than the fact that we're commanded to do so, is thankfulness. And that's one of the things we see expressed in the psalm that I read for us this morning, particularly the first six verses or so of that psalm, impress upon us that we ought to be thankful to God. And that should motivate us to come together and to honor and praise and worship Him. I guess maybe we should have started with understanding worship. It's bowing down to, it's submitting to, it's giving honor and praise to. We'll see some of those things as we go through looking at our motivation as well. I think our worship to God, no matter whether we're talking about the things that we might do in private to worship and honor and praise God, or the things in particular we're talking about this morning we do together in an assembly, I think to some degree they need to start with thankfulness. The recognition of who God is and what He has done for us. And we come before Him because of those things. We're grateful to God for all that He has done for us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. God created the world. He gave us the air we breathe. He put the ecosystem in place so that we could survive. I mean, we're literally walking around on a ball of dirt that the air is held in by the hand and power of God. Without the systems that He had put in place, we wouldn't be able to breathe. We're complaining a lot about the rain right now because we're getting so much of it, but we all remember summers when we didn't get any of it and how we wish we could have some. But we know that the rain comes in its season, And we have the dry seasons. The harvest still comes as it ought. Everything works just like God planned for it to do, despite what some would try to tell us. This world and its systems were put in place by the God of creation. We'll be thankful for that. But not only that, we're thankful to God for the sacrifice that He made so that we might be free from sin, forgiving His Son. Certainly that should be even a greater motivation to us, to come to Him with thankfulness. Our motivation for worship. One of the very founding parts of why we come together should be thankfulness for what God has done for us and what He continues to do for us. What has been provided and what awaits us when this life is over. Something else that I think we need to consider when we're talking about motivation for worship. We've got fear and reverence. Both are involved. Sometimes we just see that word fear, and other times we just see that word reverence, but let's understand that it is a fearful reverence. It is a recognition of God and His power and knowing what He could do to us, what He could have done to us. My Bible readings, as maybe yours has as well, have been going through the story of Israel. I've been reading in Kings and Chronicles lately. In fact, just this past Friday, I read about Rehoboam and the splitting of the kingdom because of the wickedness of Solomon. You know, we think about Solomon as being a wise and rich man. That's who we think of when we think of Solomon. But Solomon is the reason that the nation of Israel was divided. Because he went after foreign gods. He turned away from God. God could have completely destroyed the whole nation. I think our reading in the middle of the bulletin this morning is from the book of Judges. I had a preacher one time talk about how sad the book of Judges is. It's one of the saddest books in the Old Testament. I think there's a few more that might kind of raid up there too, but certainly it is. You don't have to read very far in the book of Judges till you read the people turned away from God. God saved them, and the people turned away from God again. I think part of our motivation for worship is coming to God out of fear, recognizing what He could have done to us and what He will do to us if we don't submit to Him. I've used the illustration before. One of the big reasons that I did what my dad told me to do, even when he wouldn't explain why, is because I knew what would happen to me if I didn't. Now, as I grew older, learned more, began to develop a respect and an honor for my father, I began to do what he said simply because I wanted to please him. Because I recognized who he was. And what he had done for me. And I was willing to give up my own will in those situations, most of the time, because I respected him. I won't go so far as to say I revered him, but it was awful close to it sometimes. For what he had accomplished and what he had done for me. You know, now, when mom says, I want you to do this for me. I'm not afraid of what my mom would do if I don't do it. She probably wouldn't do much. Fuss at me a little bit. I do it because she's my mom. Because I respect and honor her. And that's an illustration that we can readily see. We can understand. Hopefully, those of us who are parents, our children look to us in that manner. As they grow older, they begin to give more respect and reverence to us. Honor us because of who we are and what we've done. They may not do what we suggest, but they at least listen to us while we're suggesting it most of the time. Why? Because they respect us. And that's something that helps us grasp this idea of fear and reverence. a God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him, the psalmist describes. A God of such awesome and wonderful power that it causes us to shake with fear when we stop and consider how weak and frail we are before him. How worthless we are in the sight of God. Because we're just little human beings. When I think of that fear of God, I think of the story of David and Goliath. Not thinking of David, but thinking of the armies of Israel. The armies of Israel were doing pretty good in their battle with the Philistines until the Philistines started sending that giant out every morning. And they were nothing in their eyes, in his eyes. This is exactly the kind of attitude that we see in the children of Israel when they first came to the land of Canaan. And they sent the spies up into the land. You remember how the spies came back and reported, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. That's who we are in the sight of God. Grasshoppers. If we look at just the difference in power and awesomeness and wonder, we should be afraid. We should respect and revere God for what he's done. Because even though we are that little bitty grasshopper that God could just, maybe just step on, and nothing would be left of us, he loves us. He loves us enough that he gave us a means by which we can be with him. We need to revere and respect God. As well as fear him. Who will fear the Lord? Who will not fear, O Lord, the Revelation letter says, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Note the two sides there. Who will not be afraid, Lord? But also who will not worship and honor because they see what you have done, your righteous acts are revealed. Our worship, the things that we offer to God when we come together in these assemblies, and even the worship that we may offer to God when we're alone in our home, should be motivated by fear and reverence. Scared and respect. Are both involved. We should also be motivated to worship God because we want to be in his presence. We want to be close to him. Where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. And I realize there in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. And it's quite probable that he's giving instruction that is more specific to them than us, but remember, Jesus told the apostles the things he had taught them, they were to teach others. And the idea here is that when we come together, God is here with us. We ought to desire to come together to worship God because we want to be in the presence of God. We don't have kings and queens and courts such as they did back long ago. But it is my understanding that back in those days there were those that longed to come into the court of the king. They wanted to be in his presence. They wanted to be in his inner circle. And we ought to desire that with God. We ought to want to be with him. To be as close to him as we possibly can. To be in his presence. Jesus told his apostles in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 9, I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When we come together to worship God, he is here with us.
We ought to be motivated to worship because coming together to worship brings us into the presence of the Lord.
When we gather around the table to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, it is a bringing us closer to Him, into His very presence as He gave His life. It should be a motivation in our worship, encouragement, a pushing to do those things. Along with that desire to be in His presence is a desire to please, to express our appreciation to the Lord. Not only do we worship God because we honor Him, but we want to satisfy Him. We want to please Him. Go back to the illustration I used a moment ago. When my mom asked me to do something today, I do it because I want to make my mom happy. I want to help my mom. I want to show her I appreciate what she has done for me. And so I engage in that because I want to please her. And the same is true of our worship. The motivation for our worship ought to be pleasing God. The hour is coming, John tells us, as he records the words of Jesus, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Coming together to worship is doing what God wants us to do. Are you motivated to please God? Is that why you get up on Sunday morning and prepare yourself and come together with the saints so that you can come together and please God? Well, probably there have been a few times, at least when we were younger, that we went to worship to please our parents. But as we come to understand God, what He's asked of us, it should be our desire to please Him. Here's where I'm going to insert that little question that probably some of you already had in your mind, thinking, when's he going to ask this? Which time that we come together to worship, is it okay not to, if we're trying to please God? At what point can we say, God, I've had enough of worship this week, and I know you want me to come together with the saints, and I know you want me to honor you and praise you and sing songs and such, but I'm not going to do it this time. You know, I think that's one of the questions we need to ask ourselves when we start thinking about, I worship God in order to please Him. At what point is God going to look and say, well, I know you come every now and then, or you come on occasion, but you're not willing to come regular. You're not willing to come as often as possible. So I have to wonder whether you really want to make me happy or not. Don't you think that should be a part of our understanding when we're talking about we worship God in order to please Him? To satisfy Him? My mom appreciates it when I let her know that I'm traveling. She appreciates it more when I let her know when I got home. Forgot where I'm going. I sometimes forget about that. I mean, I've got Google. It's turned on. She can go check and see where Google says I am at just any time. But if I'm truly making an effort to please my mother, I make sure that whenever I get where I'm going, if I've been on the road, I let her know I'm there. Because I want to please my mom, and I know that's one of the things that pleases her. Now, it doesn't mean that I hate my mom if I forget to tell her, hey, Mom, I got home. But it does give her joy, like it does when she sees that text or gets that phone call. if part of our motivation for worshiping God is to please Him, shouldn't we desire to please Him as much as we possibly can? Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created. Just like my mom is worthy of my appreciation, God is as well, even more so. Much more so, actually. God is worthy of my appreciation, my praise, and my honor. Shouldn't I want to give Him those things as I have opportunity? I want to please God because He is God. And along with that, I worship God because I love Him. Because I have a desire to satisfy every command He has ever given me. He's worthy of that. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it tells us we love God because He first loved us. Do we love God enough to obey Him? Is our love for God a part of our motivation to come together and worship Him? Or even to worship Him on our own from time to time? These are things that ought to motivate our worship, ought to be behind our worship. When we got these things involved in our worship, it makes our worship more full and complete. It gives it more power. Makes it more than just coming together and going through the motions. It makes it a part of who we are. It makes our mind involved in our worship. These things ought to motivate our worship. They ought to be prompting us. And the more these things prompt us, the more diligent we will be in our worship and honor and praise of God. Along with these things, we also want to consider, and I guess to some degree there may be a little bit of overlap in what we're talking about here, but we also want to consider our worship in regards to why we worship. What's our mission in worship? What's our purpose in worship? And in light of the things that we've already talked about, the first thing that should be our purpose in worship is to honor and magnify God. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. In several songs that emphasize this idea that we come together to worship so that we might honor and magnify and glorify God. We'll worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Close to that anyway. Off we come together. Off we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, Thy will to see. May we truly worship. We come together to honor and magnify God. There's the problem with a lot of the religious world today. They're not here. They're not assembling to glorify and magnify God. They're assembling to satisfy some desire within their own heart. They're coming together to feel good. We don't come here to feel good. We come here to praise and honor God because of what He's done, because of who He is. all of these who call for, well, I really think it sounds better if we've got some music backing us up. They're not coming together to satisfy God. They're not coming together to honor Him. They're coming together to feel good about themselves. Those who come together so they can hear voices that say, God loves you. God's going to see you through all your struggles. God will help you with everything. God's going to bless you. I don't watch that many TV preachers anymore, but I have yet to hear one get on the television and not somewhere in his lesson talk about how God's going to pour physical blessings out on you if you, well, boys, Dad, do something for me. Why? Because the focus of those listeners is not honoring and magnifying God. The focus of those listeners is getting something for themselves. We don't come here to get something. We come here to give. Our mission in worship is to give to God. You go look up that word worship, the Greek word that's translated worship, proskuneo or something along those lines. Every time I read that word, I can't help but see an image of prostrate and kneeling. In fact, when you look at the definition of that Greek word, it literally means to bow down before. One of the dictionaries defines it as like a dog licking his master's hand. It has nothing to do with the dog. It has to do with the master. Our mission in worship is to give to God. Not receive. Now, don't get me wrong. We are blessed in worship. We do receive. We do feel good when we worship and honor and praise God as He's designed for us to do. But that's not the reason we do it. The reason we do it is to praise and honor God because He's worthy of such. It is His. One of those things that's going to kind of overlap. Our mission in worship is to get closer to God. One of the rebukes that Jesus gave, in fact, one of the rebukes that explains what was behind all the problems with Israel. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. You know why Israel lost their land? Their heart was far away from God. You know why they kept being oppressed by the Philistines and the Assyrians and the Edomites and the Moabites and the Ammonites and all of the otherites out there? Because their heart was far away from God. When they brought their hearts near to God, they were blessed. You know why they were blessed during the days of David? Because David was a man after God's own heart. He had his faults, yes, but David worshipped God. David honored God. You can't read the Psalms and fail to see that David wanted to be with God. He wanted God to be with him. The mission of our worship ought to be to draw near to God, to come into His presence. When we observe these symbols that remind us of the death of our Savior, we draw ourselves closer to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to have a desire to cleanse ourselves and come into the presence of God. We ought to want to be with the King. One of the things that I'm afraid we sometimes miss, we have, through the Word of God, the ability to sit at the base of the throne of the King of the universe
taking advantage of that. That's a part of what we're doing when we come together in such assemblies as this, is we're pulling ourselves right into the throne room. Remember we studied the book of Revelation, the description in the early part of the book in particular about the throne room and all those who are gathered around the throne. You remember the beast. You remember the elders. You also remember the multitudes that were there, surrounding the throne of God. That's where we are right now. If we truly come together to worship. We all want to be close to God. That should be our every desire. That should be the driving factor in everything we do. How can I get closer to God? If that's not what you want now, if you don't want to be near God today, why are you trying to go to heaven? Because that's exactly where you're going to be when you get to heaven. I've heard folks in the past say, I don't know why people would say they don't like to sing here, that still won't go to heaven, because that's all we're going to be doing. Well, that's an accurate description, but it does get the point across. If we're not wanting to be with God now, we're not going to be with Him then. Draw near to God. We ought to desire to come in His presence. That's why we worship Him, so we can be in His very presence. We can reach out and touch Him. We're that close when we come together in the assembly and worship God in spirit and in truth. We're with the King. That's our purpose in coming together. Well, one of the purposes under the honor and magnify. And a third purpose. Which I sometimes think we emphasize a little too much, and maybe instead of looking at this as a purpose, we ought to look at this as a benefit to worship. But it is a part of why we come together to worship. It's a part of why we assemble. We can honor and worship God anywhere. That point's been made by untold thousands through the years. The Israelites were worshiping God wherever. Sometimes think about the Israelites worshiping idols and such all over the place, and certainly there was some of that going on, but they also worshiped God anywhere and everywhere. God said, here's where I'm going to be, and you come together here and you worship me. Part of those commands we find in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers is a pulling of the Israelites to the city of Jerusalem, where God had made His name to dwell, to worship Him. Don't worship me out in the field. You come to Jerusalem and you worship me. Now, God doesn't give us such strict instructions today. He says we can worship Him wherever. But He also instructed us to come together in worship, and a part of the purpose of that coming together is so that we can strengthen and encourage one another. I think about that sometimes. What I think about is those Psalm of Ascents that we read in the book of Psalms. You remember we studied the book of Psalms? It's been a few years back now. There's a whole section of the Psalms that are called Songs of Ascent, and they were the Psalms that the Israelites sang as they journeyed back to Jerusalem for the feast, to encourage and build one another up, to strengthen them as they came before God, as they all worked together to remember what God had done for them, the reading of the words of Moses to remind them of the deliverance from Egypt, of the conquering of the land of Canaan, of the promises that they made to God. All of these things help to draw them closer to God, but also strengthen their resolve to serve Him. And that's a part of why we come together to worship. strengthen and edify one another.
The Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and actually he speaks rebuke. In that rebuke, though, we see a little bit about why we come together. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
We come together to strengthen and encourage and edify one another.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider how to help one another do more and be better.
Now, Hebrew writer, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let me consider how to stimulate our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow in their service to the Lord, to become stronger in the faith, to grow closer to God, to understand better the will of God. And while that can be done on our own, can be done in small groups, it's also done in our assemblies on the Lord's Day. It's part of our mission in coming together. We strengthen and encourage one another. Strength in numbers. Because the more often that we are gathered together with our brethren for worshiping God, the stronger we're going to be. These things need to be the foundation of our worship. Our mission and our motivation needs to be God first and foremost, what He's done for us, and the desire to be with Him. And the ability to encourage and strengthen the brethren, that we might grow stronger in faith and be better able to serve God and to lift one another up and carry us through the trying and difficult times that we're going to face here on this earth. We need to consider the reasons for our worship. We need to worship God. The manner in which He desires. May He save us. Motivation. To be better than what you offer to God in worship. I have a strong desire to do so. There's also the possibility that there are those who are gathered here this morning who have something in their life to do with us. There's always the possibility in any assembly that there's some who are in sin. Some may have never obeyed the gospel. Recognizing and understanding the sacrifice of the Savior and the desire of our God to save us. You realize that all is left to you now. When you take action on the teaching of the Word of God, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He died on Calvary for your sins, then will you submit to His will? Be obedient. Confess your belief in the Savior. Turn away from whatever it is that you've been following in the past and give yourself wholly over to follow Jesus. If you're willing to do that, then you can be buried in baptism and receive the remission of your sins. You can be, as we said in Bible class, buried with Christ and raised a new creature to walk a new life, a child of God. You've taken these steps and you realize this morning there are things in your life that are missed. Maybe there's some things in your worship that are not as they ought to be. Whereas you correct those things and pray to God asking you to forgive. Maybe you've committed some things that God said don't do. Maybe you've left off some things that God said you ought to do. Maybe it's an attitude problem more than an action problem. where you confess those things to God and seek forgiveness, and He promised that if we will do so, He will wipe them away as if we've never been. Those things are of a public nature, need to be corrected, or if it's a struggle that you're having that you need the brother to pray with you for you to strengthen and hold you up and help you to overcome, the opportunity is yours. Why don't you come, I will stand and sing.